Well, hello, leaders and teachers. Ben Jennings here, and we are in Numbers and Deuteronomy study for Explore the Bible. This is lesson number 8, and it covers Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 9 and 15 through 20. Now we're getting into Deuteronomy. We've been in Numbers a bunch. Now we're into Deuteronomy. This context of these verses is that they're standing on the border, essentially. They're about to go into the promised land, and Moses can't go in. God's already kind of instructed him that that can't happen. And so this is among some of the last things that Moses is telling the people that they had been on this place before, and those people did not go in, many of them, because they had disobeyed, not believed God, not done what they were supposed to do. And so now we have this new generation, and Moses himself can't go in. They're about to go in, and Moses gives them instruction. And essentially, he's telling them, okay, do differently than you did before. Use wisdom in the way that you go into this new phase. As you go into this new land, this promised land, be wise. And it gives us some kind of idea about living in wisdom and going into new seasons with wisdom. Now, all of us have, in a sense, a future. You're going into the new week, the people you're teaching. Maybe some people are in the same season they've been in for a while. Some maybe are thinking about new things. Either way, we all have a future, and we can choose to be foolish or be wise. And this this particular lesson basically commends them to use wisdom as they move into the future. So every believer should live by God's wisdom for three reasons that Moses gives here to the children of Israel. The first is a results reason. The results reason. He says, this is again Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live. There's a result, right? And go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I commanded you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen the Lord did what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, to this day. So there are some results here. He is saying you need to be wise enough to obey, because there are results that you get if you obey, and there are results that you get if you don't obey. If you obey, then you're going to go in and everything's going to be fine. Because you did obey, you're here to this day, right? That's what's happening. Baal-peor. Okay, that's awesome. No, that's great. Hey. I have a producer. His name is Damon, and he's helping me. That's awesome. So you're saying Numbers, leave it in, man. This is fine. Numbers 25 is where he talks about that particular text. Go. Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah.
Read it real quick.
And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed to their gods, and Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel.
Wow, that's like that's PG-13. Like, there's intensity there. Yeah, so basically there's sexual sin in that. There's idolatry in that. Sometimes those things go together. They definitely messed up. So, he's saying basically, as you go in here, this is kind of a piggyback, Damon, off of last week, where they told the children of Israel, basically, when you go in, you need to purify, you need to bring down the idols, you need to chase out all the inhabitants, the squatters, essentially, from among the people. You need to go in with wisdom, because there's a result. Disobedience leads to certain results from God, and it's very unwise to live that way. Of course, he says, you that cleave to the Lord, your God, are alive, every one of you, to this day. in terms of application, this is really clear. There are definitely people that, and we've all been here, we've all dealt with times where we didn't do the wise thing, and because we didn't do the wise thing, we did the foolish thing. There were natural consequences, and as believers, we're also chastened. There's disciplinary consequences as a result of doing the wrong thing. So we should live wisely because you get better results. And I know that's like a very simplistic way of saying it. It's you should do right because it's right. You should do wise because it's wise. But in being wise, there's a certain kind of results to do it. The second reason we should live by God's wisdom is the reflection reason. You're going to see in this next set of verses that Moses calls them to remember. He points back to the past as instructive for the future throughout this. He says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations." There you go. There's wisdom. "Which you shall hear all the statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who God hath so nigh unto them as the Lord our God in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget," there it is, "the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy son and thy son's sons." There's this reflection. He's essentially saying a couple things. Remember the law that I've given to you. Remember the law, where it came from. It came from God. Remember what it means. Know that when you remember that and do that, you're going to be have a different reputation among the nations. The law of God really was a real asset to the children of Israel because they lived according to his law. It preserved them back to the same results. Like when they lived wisely, it was good for them. And so he's essentially saying, remember the commandments that I gave you. And remember what happened when you did them and what happened when you didn't do them. That's essentially what he's saying. When he says, if you don't, you could forget the things you've seen. You know, what do they see? They saw God come and mess them up at Baal Peor. You know, like that's part of what they saw. And then he says, essentially, don't let them be forgotten generationally. You remember them and make sure your kids remember them. He says here, they could depart from thy heart all the days of life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy son's sons. This is a similar discipleship kind of a thing that says, you know, Paul says in the New Testament, things you've heard and learned and seen of me, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul says, me to you, to others who will teach others. He says here, I remember what I taught you, teach them to your son and to your son's sons. Just remember, reflect on everything, because you have a tendency to forget. So why should we believe and live by God's wisdom? Because of the results reason, because of the reflection reason, it's easy to forget, and then the reality reason. He says, this is now in verse number 15. "Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest thou be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day." What essentially Moses is saying is, if you act like the people of Egypt, people that see these great created things, animals, beasts, fish, sun, moon, stars, and begin to worship the created, you're going to worship something that's false. Those things didn't get you out of Egypt. The Lord God got you out of Egypt. The created things don't give you this inheritance of this promised land. God is giving you this inheritance of this promised land. God's the one that's guided you. God's the one that's protected you. God's the one who will discipline you if you don't do what he says. God's the one that's giving you the wisdom of this law. Don't be like the Egyptians that you came out of, and don't be like the Canaanites who you're going to see when you go in. Be a unique people who have an inheritance, who've been given law, who know the Creator and worship the Creator instead of the created. The reality is the created thing, and really the graven thing that imitates the created thing, is not real. It's not the thing that got you where you are. What got you where you are was this invisible God who has manifested himself through these works, through these supernatural things. He's the one that got you to where you are now. The truth of the matter is, when we worship the created thing, we're worshiping something that's going to go away. We're worshiping something that's finite. We ought to worship God who is infinite, who has the ability and the authority to be to us what we ought to be. And so we ought to be wise, because when we worship God, we want to go with God's wisdom, because God's wisdom is the real wisdom. It's not the fake, false wisdom. So what does this mean? What does this mean for us? We are going, you're teaching a class that one day, a group of people, they're going to stand before God and they're going to give an answer. If they're believers, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There will be a judgment that deals with our rewards, and what we do in this earth will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last, right? And so we need to be wise, because that's part of it. We need to be wise because we're people who understand who God is, and we want to live wisely as unto him. I hope this helps you think through the lesson. There's a lot of practical application for yourself and for your class. Take time to study, and I hope this helps you. Thanks.